Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. Do you like the way I can now pronounce our?
Yes. Have you practiced?
I've really been practicing. I really focus on saying not our.
Do you like stand in the mirror? So like back in the day when I was in like chorus, we used to have to do this red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. And it really helps if you watch yourself in the mirror.
Practice that hard. I've just more aware. So,
well, good job.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Congratulations.
This special Easter edition, also known as episode 56, is
57.
Oh, you're right.
You're going to get all the listeners confused.
This special Easter episode 57 is being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, side note, again, we need to get some sponsorship to have somebody else bring.
We've toyed with the idea of Secure WAN.
Yeah, that's exactly. All right.
And then he can correct if it's Secure WAN or Secure WAN.
I used to call it WAN, but I'm 99% sure it's WAN.
WAN.
So in the computer world, I don't know what that means, but it means something.
I know there's a WAN and a LAN, and I don't know what they are either.
Okay. All right. Well, we're here on the special Easter edition in rainy, cold, cruddy Lawrenceville, Georgia. But it's still home.
Yeah. We're expecting some pretty significant storms later today.
Yeah.
So hopefully everyone stays safe during that.
Coming from Texas, I believe I saw earlier this morning, across Louisiana, and ultimately getting Alabama and up in the Atlanta northern suburbs, I think. So, yeah,
so it'll be like northeast Georgia area, kind of where we are. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so
thanks for the warning there.
Yeah, I downloaded my tornado warning app this morning. So, in case I'm sleeping at 2 or 3 a.m., I will get the notification, and it will tell me what is going on and how to get to safety.
Okay.
The route. So, that's kind of cool.
So, but you live in a house with a basement, right? So,
to your point, yeah. I think I would just go right downstairs to the basement.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because the app basically tells you how to drive to a safe zone, but I don't know that you should get in the car and drive.
That's a good point.
I think you should just probably go in your basement and hunker down a little bit.
Yeah, good point. So, okay. Recent events, current happenings. What's on your mind these days?
I mean, this will be the fourth week that we have been podcasting about COVID-19 and the coronavirus pandemic.
And I think there's probably 8 more weeks coming. Hopefully the last 4 will be, I was going to say dying off, wrong words to use, but kind of trailing off and not as big of a deal.
Hopefully. I mean, it's been a while since I've watched Dr. Birx, Dr. Fauci, and President Trump on their coronavirus task force briefings. But from what I understand, we are expected to be trailing off a little bit and mitigating, as Dr. Fauci likes to say.
Not micturating. That was last week.
Yeah, mitigating. Interesting. I know we'll probably get there on some of the things that we're seeing in the practice, but, you know, we've talked about this before. Like, whenever there's really popular movies, we start to see pet names after the movies. So, like, the Twilight series, we started seeing everything was a Bella.
Yep.
In fact, we have some staff members, and their pets' names are Bella. Whether they came from that or not, I don't know. But we got our first coronavirus puppy name within the practice.
I'm assuming his name was?
Fauci.
So I was here whenever that appointment came in. Whenever that virtual visit came in.
Does the puppy look like Dr. Fauci?
I don't remember. I think it was like an English cream golden, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
But Heather F. came out. I'm like, oh, look at this cute puppy. Who's this? Fauci? I'm like, what? Fauci?
That's so funny, because the pronunciation was in the appointment.
Yeah, and so I explained, and she had no clue who he is.
Oh my God. How can people not watch that? Like, Dr. Birx is like my total all-time favorite right now.
That.
I have like a total woman crush on her.
I expect you to start with this new scarf collection.
Oh my God, yeah. I don't even know where she gets those things, but whatever old lady store she shops at, I'm about to be there.
Well, she was a big fan of yours until you said that.
Aw, she still is.
So,
But I was saying, whenever I saw Fauci, I was like, I would totally totally name a dog Birx, B-I-R-X,
yeah.
like a bird dog. Yeah. I think that would be the coolest thing. And I used to have a bird dog, for those that don't know. But how cool would that be if you got like a little pointer and you named it Birx, B-I-R-X?
Yeah, I suspect we will see several of those moving forward.
I think we'll see
probably
more.
Probably no Trumps.
I think we'll see more Ronas. So interesting, though, we do have a dog, a literal white Bichon named Obama.
That's his full name.
To our practice. What do you mean?
They just call him Obama?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought his full name was Barack Obama.
Oh, it is Barack Obama.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But they call him Obama, yeah.
Yeah, but we've not seen any Donalds or any Trumps or certainly any DTs or Donald Trumps.
Nope.
But yeah, one Fauci. So crazy.
I just think it's hysterical. And I'm actually pretty proud of the family that did that. So
awesome, awesome. Okay, so in Georgia, we kind of, right before we started the podcast, we looked at the statistics and over 400 deaths thus far and over 12,500 reported cases. And I'm assuming, I don't know if that's hospitalized cases or just tested positive. So the number,
it's actually just, it's just cases, because there was on that stat at the Georgia Public Health Department.
Department of Public Health.
Mm-hmm. So it has all three stats. It has those that are positive, those that are hospitalized, and those that have passed. So all three stats are there, but I didn't read you off the hospitalized.
Okay. So still, I believe from the reported cases or the positive test, 96% survival rate.
Okay.
Which is pretty good, unless you're in that 4%.
Yeah, but I mean, there's always that.
But there's a lot of
that
people
percentage
that,
of any disease that there's right. a mortality.
I would love to know the percentage of actual people that have been exposed and either got sick or didn't get sick but have now recovered. I would think that that number's huge. I'm hoping that number
well,
is.
Well, that's exactly what Dr. Birx was talking about.
90% of the reported cases are the
last,
reported positives.
One of the last task force briefings that I watched, Dr. Birx was talking about antibody testing, this subset of this underlying population of people. And so I would bet that there are a ton of people that have mounted antibodies against this that either maybe had mild syndrome or symptoms or mm-hmm. none at all and have quote unquote recovered or never progressed into
really,
a disease.
I really, really am concerned about the testing, because we've talked about this and beat it into the ground, but coronavirus testing in cats specifically is not accurate at all as far as clinical disease, and that's due to their exposure and a lot of other factors. So I hope they get it right.
So let's go back to the cat thing. So I don't know if we talked about this on the last podcast or not, but the positive tiger in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So the AVMA actually came out with a Q&A, like how to answer these questions, because inadvertently your clients are going to ask you, like, what do you think about you know, a cat being positive, and what does that relate to our companion animals and all this kind of stuff. But the AVMA really wanted people to know that the test that they used on the cat at the zoo was not a human test. So to your point,
it was an animal coronavirus, and then the news story reads,
test.
Oh, whatever, what are they calling the etiologic agent now?
SARS-CoV-2.
So, yeah, who knows? So, who knows? Bottom line, though, we're all aware. We're all quarantining ourselves, and or not. We're sheltering. We're
yes.
not necessarily quarantining, but we're right. sheltering. We're keeping our social distance. I was out yesterday picking up some things at a large box store, and there was a person that was just like right on top of me. And did not understand what was going on. He was behind me. He wasn't maintaining social distancing. I got super nervous. I was checking out, doing the self-checkout thing. He walked up to get a drink out of a cooler next to where I was checking out. And I'm on guard, I guess.
So would you have really thought, so pre-corona,
no.
would you have thought anything of it?
No.
No.
So, yeah.
But this is literally, truly like put us all at edge a little
yeah.
bit. And I'm actually kind of proud of the population that we're not seeing more negative stuff come from this. Because I fear that there would be people that would retaliate or react, you know, and try to fight with people.
Well, so
or
there was a guy that got pulled off a bus on a news story today in Boston because he wasn't wearing a mask. So police, The driver of the bus asked him to leave the bus. He refused. 3 to 5 policemen literally ripped him off the bus because he would not get off. So you've got that. And then the day before that in Atlanta, I think, 2 people were wearing masks and they went into a store of some part or some type rather, and they were asked to leave because there's actually a law in Georgia that you cannot be out in public and
cover your face.
Yeah, you cannot have your face covered going into a public store of some sort. And so now,
so it's only specific subsets of stores.
It's all retail, I think. You're not, you know, like mask robber, I think, is where they're going. But there's a law, a Georgia law, that says you can't do that. And so now, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms is really, really heavily asking Governor Kemp to temporarily
retract,
repeal, stop that law.
So that's interesting. So we too kind of went out and about this weekend. We went to Sam's Club. We were safe and socially distant, and we wore masks. So we being myself, my fiance, and my little sister who lives with us, who's 20. And it's interesting. So Sam's Club, you know, counts people in. So there was a bit of a line. And so we stood in this line for 3 seconds, probably 3 minutes, maybe total.
3 minutes, probably, I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, we were very close to not be close to the people in front of us. The people behind us were really courteous and not being super close to us either. And when you got in the store, I don't really know how many people were in there, but it was a ghost town. Huh. I mean, going in an aisle, we were pretty quick to go in, get our cases of water.
Costco, I went to Costco like yesterday. It was very similar. It was just kind of weird. I didn't know whether to hurry up or to take my time.
Yeah, you feel very guilty taking your time, though, right? Knowing that there's people in the line.
Just browsing, yes. I basically got what I needed and got out. But,
us too. But my point in all this is that we wore masks, but being the weekend, and it's a typical thing for me, I wore a baseball cap because I usually wear my hair pulled back and that kind of thing. So I wore a baseball cap and a mask. So literally the only thing you can see were basically my eyes, but barely. And so to your point of going into a store, if I had done something wrong, they probably wouldn't have been able to identify me.
Yeah. Even at the self checkouts, Walmart has video. Kroger does not. I think Walmart's probably the only
Target
as well. Okay. Yeah.
So they put the camera back on you and they let you see yourself. Yeah,
because they're just trying to make sure, you know, deter, that you're being watched and deter theft and other crime. So I've not even thought about that until this whole Georgia law and as we're talking about it, and hopefully the criminals will not figure it out. But during these times, certainly they could take advantage of the situation. So, that's, we've talked about, you know, pre-corona, post-corona. The scary thing to me is, what is the world going to look like post-corona? I think I might have an inkling, but yet I just don't know if we're going to be able to have these big sporting events like we've had in the past. Do we have to spread out more? Are we required to wear a mask? What is it that going to look like? I mean, they're talking about canceling the NFL season already. Baseball's still not started.
Yeah, baseball was set to start, and then they pushed their start date back to May.
NHL, I'm assuming. I was on the treadmill this morning because it's rainy and yucky outside, and they had a classic NHL show or event on, so I'm assuming they would start. So I don't know. I mean, we're obviously going to get through it, but there are going to be changes from, I think, restaurants, sporting events, certainly other entertaining or entertainment events, school. I don't know. I just don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know. We're living in such fear right now. And fear based around one disease potentially, right? And yet there are still so many other diseases out there that are passed very similarly or very differently, right? And so I feel like in some of those aspects, we're just totally not even considering all of that.
I'm going to go up. This is not meant to be negative, but I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that they are not going to come up with an effective corona vaccine. The same way they did not come up with an effective HIV vaccine or we do not have an effective FIP vaccine in veterinary medicine.
But they do have an HIV treatment.
Treatment is different. So
it is totally different.
Today they were talking about, what is the malaria drug? The
hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, so been around forever, not very expensive. Used for malaria, used for other autoimmune diseases. I still think the it's not the coronavirus itself that's killing people. It's your body's reaction to it, which is why it is targeting specific demographic populations of people. And that's why the
hydroxychloroquine
is working, because it's suppressing the immune system. That's why I think steroids are very important. And then anything to support your immune system.
So, but that makes zero to no sense to me. Why would you suppress the immune system when you need your immune system to fight this off?
It's a balance. Your immune system overreacts. I'm not 100% sure on the human side, but veterinary medicine, FIP again, granulomatous inflammation, it just overcomes the animal. And so the only treatment we have for cats with FIP is steroids, corticosteroids.
Yeah, and so to your point, it's reducing it so that it's a normal reaction, because basically your body is overreacting to it. So it's suppressing your immune system to a normal level.
It's not killing the virus.
It's not suppressing it to where the point that you're more acceptable to other things.
Yeah, so it's anti-inflammatory, borderline immunosuppressive. But that's the thing a lot of people don't understand about steroids, is they think of steroids as being like testosterone or estrogen, mainly testosterone that bodybuilders would take to kind of bulk up.
Mm-hmm.
But we rarely use those, anabolic steroids. We use corticosteroids. And in lower doses, they're anti-inflammatory. High doses, they can become immunosuppressive, like a chemotherapy agent. So, deep into the medicine there.
Yeah, that's a lot.
We should try to get our podcast, like, this is good stuff, I think. We should try to, like, put this out at least locally.
I don't know what you mean.
Like to the AVMA or something, because this is very relevant. I think we've talked about the World Health Organization. We've talked about the One Health movement. There's a lot to be learned, I think, on the veterinary side with what's going on currently. And I'm not sure people are really looking at that.
To be learned or to be taught?
Both. I think human side, they can look back at what's...
a lot of the veterinary like research facilities, they are researching, in my opinion, human coronavirus. You know, they're researching things on animals. And a lot of research for human medicine is already done on animals. We know that. And so I do think that there is a bit of that. But to your point, I don't think necessarily the clinical reasoning and things that veterinarians have, and like the not necessarily trial and error, but like what you guys see time and time again is necessarily shared with them unless it's in a research lab.
But I'm also going to say the news is the news, and I'm not going to go down the Trump mentality of it's all fake news, because it's not. But I have been started to see some articles and watch some video of some of the doctors and clinicians who are dealing with this, and they're talking about clinically using some of these off-label treatments because their patients are super sick and they are trying to get them better. So they're using the immunosuppressants, they're using, you know, ivermectin, they're using all these crazy things, because otherwise they're just going to sit back and watch their patients die.
Right.
And so that part of the story is not sensational. And so you or we as the general public don't typically have that put in front of us.
Well, if not... Not to be super negative again, but good news sells news. You know what I mean? So they're not going to show you everything all the time. And so to your point, it's not fake news, but it is very much the way they want you to see it.
Very much jaded.
So I try to tell my mom this a lot, because she's been off work for 2 weeks, you know, and she's kind of just watched the news a lot. And that's truly where she and a lot of other people get a lot of their information. But I try to remind her, like, you're seeing what they want you to see in an opinion based on a bigger, I guess, strategy, if you will.
So you and I have been, over the years, involved in a couple of news stories and interviewed, and we kind of know what the reality of the situation is or was, and then we go through the interview process, and then what's portrayed on the local news It's not 100% false, but it is not necessarily exactly what happened either.
Yeah, for sure. No, I definitely agree with you.
It's very entertaining. So, anyway, I thought we were not going to have anything to talk about on this podcast.
Well, we've talked about a whole lot of nothing like for the last 20 minutes here.
So, okay, so we're still doing curbside service. I kind of jotted some thoughts down on paper.
So side note for 1 second, I know like we talked about storms, but in our podcast, if anyone's ever like watched our live podcast or our recorded podcast or have seen any of the pictures we post on Instagram, we wear headsets and the headsets are pretty noise canceling. We hear ourselves talk, but I can literally hear the rain
through the headset.
Hear it as well? Yeah, okay. Yeah, crazy.
Heavy rain. So still continuing with our curbside service is where I was going. This is kind of an internal plug for us. Did you read the Google Doc I shared with you about?
If I'm being honest, I haven't read it.
I know you haven't. About the virtual visits.
Does it tell you if you have a shared doc, like if someone's opened it?
No, but I knew you didn't based on your response and look just then. so I coined a new term for our patient care attendants who used to be known as kennel attendants, who used to be known as kennel. So we are still boarding, but we have like one boarder a week.
Yeah.
And normally we have 70 a day.
Well, yeah, especially like spring break and holidays like Easter, those people would be traveling, taking long weekends, that kind of thing.
So since our patient care or kennel attendants are no longer back in kennel, we are using them as what we've been internally calling runners, mm-hmm. which means they are transporting patients into and out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
I decided we're going to call them either pet concierge or patient concierge because they're truly facilitating bringing the pet in and taking medicines out and any communications that need to happen if the clients haven't filled out their online forms. They are facilitating whatever that pet needs and the client needs while the client stays in the car.
Yeah.
Can you think of a better term? That's the best I could come up with.
No, I think it's great. Pet concierge.
So you read about concierge service in the medical industry, human, veterinary, very much personalized, and I feel like that's what we're doing. So that's the plug for GVA, a plug for the week. Let's move into cases that we're seeing.
Okay.
We're seeing lots of emergencies, lots of...
Puppies
still.
Still lots and lots of puppies.
More than we've ever seen.
We talked about it being puppy month. Like the month of April, there are just so many puppies. And what I think...
Part of that is the breeding season as well.
Oh, for sure.
They're available.
It's always. Yes, we always see puppies and kittens kind of seasonally, if you will. But we have never seen such an uptick the way that we are now.
And you've had a concern. I think it's a very valid concern.
I do.
That these puppies are not going to be socialized with other humans or pets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to receive very little obedience training.
Well, like the first 4 to 8 weeks of their life being at home, they're going to get accustomed to everyone being there.
So up until 8 weeks, basically, that's okay, is my understanding. Socialization really is super important 8 weeks and beyond. Would you agree?
I'm not. So, but people aren't getting puppies at 1 week old. I'm saying like for the first 4 to 8 weeks after right. these people bring them
after
home.
We get them, yeah.
So they're 8, 12, 15 weeks old and they are literally like they're seeing their family every single day.
They are being treated like humans, which is good, but can be really, really bad because they are not humans and they need boundaries. They need
great.
To be treated like children.
But it's great for the companion and the stress relief and the happiness that they're bringing to the families. But I don't want to see, you know, in 4 to 6 months from now, pets being surrendered to shelters
because of separation anxiety.
Because
now their humans are back at work.
They have no behavior training, that kind of stuff. Like, that is really terrifying to me.
So,
and it's not because the people who are getting these puppies don't,
right.
you know, are intentionally doing this. They have no idea.
So you have had an idea, and I totally agree with it, that we need to provide some puppy classes, some online. It's got to be virtual training.
Absolutely.
So we're going to try to, I don't know that I want to reinvent the wheel as far as what needs to happen at certain ages, but I think we need to come up with some basic obedience
but
lessons.
More so just information, right? So people that get puppies, it's, I don't know. I mean, gosh, I had a 2 years ago, I got a puppy, right? My dog is going to be two this month.
Right.
And I've been in this industry for 13 years and it was awful. Puppyhood, I did
it's
not
tough.
Enjoy
it's
it.
Rough.
It's very, yeah, you think you know everything about it until you're in that situation. And then you just kind of let things slide and, you know, lo and behold, you have to make sure that you have a decent dog coming out of it. But it's difficult.
So anyway, I think the thought is, not any way to dismiss what you just said, I didn't mean that, but the thought is get some basic training in front of our clients, have the ability to have a virtual conversation with them on a weekly basis about any questions they have or what we would recommend at their dog stage of, or cat stage of life. Side note, do cats ever go to obedience training? They don't, which is why they're cats.
Only if you are going to like show your cat and that kind of thing are you going to put
it through
any sort of
training. Or
if
they're really bad and Jackson Gallagher
Galaxy
Galaxy needs to come visit you. So anyway, but really, really the separation anxiety is something we could really help to prevent, I feel like, because hopefully in 4 to 8 to 12 weeks, everybody that is at home either sheltering and working remotely or receiving unemployment goes back to work. And a lot of these dogs are going to have major, major anxiety issues. And that's something that we could actually prevent by allowing the dogs to kind of shelter in a quiet place and have a little bit of downtime.
Yeah.
So that would be the one thing I would really want to promote. It's fine to love your pet. We all love our pets, but they are not humans,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot treat them. They do not think that way. They cannot communicate with you.
Right.
And so let's think about when we go back to work. Let's think about making sure they have boundaries. Let's think about the basic obedience, you know, issues that we oftentimes deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an awesome idea.
Okay. Well, definitely look to get that started in the next week.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Time is of the essence, as I said in an internal email, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So, cases. So we started talking about the cases that we're seeing, and we got off track on puppies, which, again, we're seeing tons and tons of puppies. But you mentioned on your notes here that we're seeing cases, and we're seeing cases in threes.
So, for some reason, I don't know if it's medicine in general, but veterinary medicine, like the first day at my clinic in Navasota, Texas, Beard Navasota Animal Hospital, I saw something and they're like, oh, it comes in threes. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? And that afternoon, I saw the same basic problem again. And the next day, I saw a third problem. And then I didn't see it for 6 months.
Yeah.
So it's super weird. We typically pick up on it when we see the second odd thing.
Yeah.
But kind of like, I think I shared on the podcast, but definitely you and I have talked about it. Weird things.
Some of your weird things I think are not so weird, but
well, to me they're weird. But
they are weird.
It's like
you.
It's like all of a sudden you see this, you know, oh, we got a bladder stone. Wow, I haven't seen one of those in 3 months. And then that afternoon, you see one in the morning. That afternoon, oh, here's my second bladder stone. And so you schedule the surgeries, you do the two surgeries on the next day, and then on day three, you see your third bladder stone.
Yeah.
And you cut it on day four, and then you don't see a bladder stone for another year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so we're not talking itchy skin, ear infections.
No, it's more like
dental
the large
tartar,
things.
But it's
Pyometra.
These big, yeah, splenectomies.
Splenectomies.
You know, splenic tumors, and we need to go in, emergency or not, remove the spleen. You're gonna see three in a week,
yeah,
and then you're not gonna see any for 3 months.
Sometimes, like foreign bodies, we start to see. So, like our scope, we talked about using the endoscope on the dog with the socks, and so that's something that we have, obviously, but it gets little use. But when it gets used, it's typically
when you need it, you need it.
You know, three cases in the same week. What I was going to say is it's funny and interesting how that happens. Like, we've always had a joke in our family that pregnancy comes in threes. But I've worked in this industry pretty long, and it also happens to come in threes in the practice.
Yeah. Weird.
Do you remember, like, I guess half a year ago or something, there was like 19 nurses in the same hospital that were all pregnant? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, it was a while ago. But anyways, I think it's interesting. So we have literally someone from almost all departments in our hospital here at Russell Ridge pregnant. We have a receptionist, a technician, and a doctor.
Yeah.
It's interesting, right?
But
it definitely does happen in groups.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird, weird. So last week's word of the week was micturition, and we kind of linked that back to mitigation. Do you know what cysto means? So cystotomy, we kind of dropped that. We had three cystotomies.
So I would think cyst, like fluid-filled sac. I don't know.
Okay. Fluid-filled sac. Dead on. Bladder.
Yep.
How many bladders are in the body?
Two. Two that I know of. The gallbladder and the urinary bladder.
Okay. So one of the pet peeves of one of my professors in vet school was, you don't just say bladder. It's either urinary bladder or gallbladder.
Yes.
So cystotomy, right? That is surgical opening of the bladder, even though we don't say urinary cystotomy, but we talk about cholecystectomies. We don't really do cholecystotomies, but cholecystectomy is surgically removing the gallbladder. So yeah, you do have a gallbladder and then you have a urinary bladder.
That's the only bladders you have, right? I was thinking like adrenal, like, no, that's a
adrenal bladder. Like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to laugh at you now.
I know, you can laugh all you want, but you looked at me when I said two. There are only two, right?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
That's why I looked at you that way, because yes, yes.
We're running out of time.
All right,
here.
GVA, hashtag GVA strong. Everybody remember that. The final thing, and we can talk about this next podcast, but the word, this is going to go into next week. The word of next week, which is actually a prefix, is tele, T-E-L-E, like television.
Telephone.
Telephone, telehealth, telemedicine. Those are hot, hot topics in our industry, have been for 2 years, definitely now with the shelter in place and everything going on. Did you watch Saturday Night Live last night?
I never watched Saturday Night Live.
Okay. Well, Tom Hanks was the host. From his living, or not his living room, his kitchen, actually.
Oh, wow.
And they did kind of this virtual sheltered SNL. And he came on, and the crowd noise was up. And he's like, oh, hey, everybody, thanks all the sound engineers for making it feel like we're really live. And maybe they were live, actually. But like, we're really here. So he did his monologue and agreed that it was super weird. Point being, everybody is doing that. Everybody is doing things virtually
these days
because you cannot congregate together. So
yes, it has become the new norm.
It's the new norm. So our VMG group is going to have a virtual meeting next week. A weather lady locally was attempting to broadcast from her home today, and her microphone was off, basically. She was trying to talk, and everybody watched her like for 10 seconds, and then they cut in and said, oh, we're having audiovisual problems. It was all audio, but it has become the new norm.
We're going to have a meeting tomorrow with all of our hospitals, all staff.
We are a GVA meeting tomorrow night to discuss insurance, which is kind of a mandatory meeting that we have, but we're doing it virtually.
It is literally the new norm.
A lot of people are predicting a lot of airline travel. Business meetings will be decreased because we as a population are figuring
universe.
Out. You don't really have to go there and be there. Although there is nothing like that personal conversation in many instances. So super interesting. I think there is going to be a lot of good that comes out of this. We are going to have some post-corona changes. I'm hopeful that they are going to be for the
greater
betterment.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk more about telemedicine and virtual visits next week, but we'll push that to then.
Okay. So let's wrap things up then, guys. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our blog on the website at mygavet.com. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're getting it from. But don't forget, you can also find this podcast under the resources tab on our website. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys. Hope everyone stays safe.